He's back from over a year-long radio hiatus.
Well, I hate to say I told you so, but I told you so.
We know how much you've missed him, Tennessee.
Let the dogs loose. Let the goons be goons. Can you say Hail Mary?
So he's bringing you an all-new podcast coming straight from the heart of Knoxville.
11 in a row, 11 in a row, 11 in a row,
11 in a row,
38 in a row, as in 38 on extra points.
He's the hardest working man in America that doesn't drink beer. He's looking for a woman with a good insurance policy, and you can always find him on the second floor somewhere getting shoulder rubs. His name is John Reed, and this is Reed's Ranch.
Point four, Florida, you can go to hell.
Welcome into Reed's Ranch. I'm John Reed. Seth Hughes joining me as always. Davis Studdard producing this thing, keeping us sounding good. I know a lot of people complain about Seth going in and out. He's just a dumbass. It's nothing Davis does wrong. It's just Seth's a dumbass. Seth, what's up, buddy? How's your Monday going? Columbus Day.
It's good because I didn't have to go to work. Shout out to Christopher Columbus and all the good he did for our world.
Is he the most overrated person in history?
Yeah, probably. He's way up there.
I mean, I can't think of anybody even close.
We're taught
from such an early age that like Christopher Columbus was so cool and like so smart and took this big chance and founded America. He gets credit for all that stuff, even though he was a fuck up and got lucky. It was actually really lost
though, because he gets me out of work one day a year.
Shout out to that. How you feeling today? Tennessee loses their first game. Do you call it a heartbreaker, first of all? A heartbreaker in College Station? Are you going that far?
No.
No. Not a heartbreaker. I felt really sad leaving the game, but you were pretty upbeat. How you feeling today? Still good?
Well, I feel after time to reflect, just in the past, so over the first half of the season, Tennessee's a whole lot better than I thought they would be. Tennessee deserved every bit of the hype they got and probably a little bit more. We're clearly a top 10 team. We're just a whole lot better than I thought they would be. I thought going in, and I really thought like after a couple of weeks that A&M we would probably lose, and at best case it was a toss-up, but it turns out that, yeah, we lost, but we were far and away better than them. And if we somehow get a chance to play them again in Atlanta, we will beat the shit out of them.
Yeah, that would be the best case scenario for us, is that we beat Bama, A&M beats Bama, and you get Texas A&M for a chance to go to the playoff. That's clearly the ideal scenario for Tennessee's season to play out, right?
Yes, that is clearly the best case scenario. We would beat them like a stepchild in Atlanta. We would be healthy pretty much across the board except for Maben. We'd have Sutton and Kirkland back.
So what's the word on Sutton? Is Sutton coming back in November? Is that
November? Yeah.
So he's said he's going to do it. Like he's putting off surgery, I guess. Does it mean, is it even?
He's gotten surgery.
Okay, so he's gotten surgery and he's, I guess, putting off getting ready for the NFL is what I meant. So he's still eyeing returning in November.
Yes, Kirkland will be back this week, from what I was told. They thought he was going to play last weekend at the beginning of the week, like Monday and Tuesday. They thought he was going to be ready to go, and then the second half of the week they were just like, not quite ready yet. But he will be good to go. Hurd should be good to go as well.
Well, let's go ahead and get into that, because that was whenever we tweet about questions, topics, a lot of people want to know your thoughts, my thoughts on Hurd versus Kamara versus John Kelly, the triple threat in the Tennessee backfield. Kamara, Kelly both looked really good Saturday without Jalen Hurd. If Jalen Hurd's healthy, cleared, ready to go, do you automatically throw him back into the starting role and give him the majority of the workload?
I don't know how you can make Jalen Hurd running back one Saturday if he's fully healthy.
You don't know how you can make him running back one.
I don't think you can. I think you're doing a disservice to your team if you give him the majority of the carries Saturday.
This just in a reaction from this weekend?
Yeah, and I know that you never want to make a reaction based off one game, because I was sitting here telling people not to overreact to the Appalachian State game, so you don't want to overreact to one game of Kamara and Kelly. But Kamara can do things that nobody else on this team can.
I mean, he put up a historic performance, one that hasn't been seen in college football in 20 years, with his amount of receiving and rushing yards. I mean, he was by far the most explosive player on the field, ran hard. Yeah, another bad fumble, but that's not a fumble where you're jogging into the end zone or being careless with the ball. That's just you're spinning out of three or four people and still fighting for yards. You don't get as mad about those type of fumbles. And Butch even said the same today in the press conference.
Yeah, I mean, he just made one cut too many on that play, I felt like. It was an amazing play. He's an amazing player. The offense looked so much better to me when he's running back one. Like, it's just different. It's nothing against Hurd. Hurd's obviously a really good player. Kamara just looked so good, man. I think you have to give him the offense, majority of the touches.
The offense is just so much better when you have him coming out of the backfield with passes, too. Yeah. It's not even so much the running. You know, Kamara's 5.2 yards per carry so far this year. And Hurd's at 4.0. So, I mean, it's a yard. It's over a yard difference. But just out of the backfield, there's no comparison to him in the open field.
I mean, on average Saturday, when he had the ball in his possession, he averaged a first down.
And some of them were pretty hopeless situations. That one, Tennessee's down two scores. It's just a dump off on the sideline. He makes a one-handed catch on that 3rd and 10 and somehow picked up 12 yards on that first down to keep the game going. Like, it wasn't all just the 15-yard dump downs when, you know, A&M was clearing out in coverage. Granted, some of them were, you know, some of them were easy yards, but other times, I mean, Kamara just made some great plays.
Yeah, he's
broke
the man.
A lot of tackles.
I don't know, like, because my opinion on the Alabama game is that it's going to be a shootout.
I don't think Hurd's going to, you know, we all
Hurd
know.
Hurd doesn't help you in a shootout.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. We all know what Hurd brings to the table. He can get you 3 to 4 yards, maybe 8 here and there. Hurd doesn't seem like the type of running back that's going to fare well against Alabama. I mean, yeah. Hurd's, just look at Leonard Fournette, best running back in the country by all accounts, whatever. Whenever he goes up against Alabama, he gets shut down. Hurd's not more explosive than Leonard Fournette. You know what I mean? Like, you need a different type of back to go against Alabama. You need someone coming out of the backfield catching passes, someone getting around the edge. It's bad timing for Hurd coming back from injury. I mean, honestly, especially after Kamara's performance to go up against Alabama. Just look at the type of running backs they are, Seth. I mean, does it not just make more sense to use Hurd late in games? I mean,
listen.
Whenever a defense is maybe gassed, then you use Hurd to kind of bruise them a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, nothing you're saying sounds crazy to me, because I think this particular offense works better when Kamara and Kelly are your two backs.
Yeah.
And like that's, and people are going to say I'm crazy, whatever. I don't care. I'm just telling you what I saw Saturday. John Kelly looked awesome.
I really wish he didn't have that fumble. Otherwise,
I do too.
Otherwise, it was a 10 out of 10 performance. I mean, I'll still give him an 8.5 or 9. Didn't really notice any missed blocks on assignments, you know, in pass protection. 7 yards a carry. I mean, he was hitting the hole, running hard, running through
he
people at
the
goal
hole
line.
So it's like, I don't mean anything against Hurd, but those two backs hit the hole quicker than Hurd does.
You get Kelly's almost the perfect combination between Kamara and Hurd. I mean, honestly, like Hurd is lumber. You know, Hurd. First of all, whoever kept telling us that Hurd ran a 4.4 was lying to us. Like, you know, you haven't seen the breakaway speed.
He doesn't have it. And there's also those plays, you know, in the secondary. Well, like when Kamara catches the ball and he gets to the intermediate level of the defense, he's able to get to the last level of the defense either by making a miss. He can even break tackles. He can get, but like Hurd can't do that. Like Kamara makes plays go so much further than Hurd does.
It'll be interesting to see what Butch does. Does he owe any type of loyalty to Hurd, in your opinion? Somebody he started from day one, you know, usually you make the freshman kind of earn it, especially with, you know, you had a senior here when Hurd was a freshman. Grant Hurd, obviously more talented, but do you feel like Butch feels like he owes anything to Hurd?
The only loyalty Butch Jones has is to the University of Tennessee to do his best job to win Saturday.
And I think everyone would agree right now that that's Kamara at least getting 50% of the touches.
Yeah,
I saw some bullshit stats saying that. Did Butch say today that he, if Hurd's healthy, it's 65-35? Did Butch say that, or was someone assuming? Was someone
just giving it up? I didn't really read any of Butch's quotes.
Okay, I saw someone saying about Hurd being healthy, getting 65% of the touches. I hope that wasn't true, because, like you said, at the very least, Kamara needs 50% of the touches.
Yeah.
In a perfect world, Kamara gets 50% of the touches, Kelly gets 25, Hurd gets 25. I feel like that's almost where it should be right now.
I mean, I personally think Kamara needs 75% of the touches Saturday afternoon.
Okay.
I'm
just a little worried about how Kamara would hold up after getting so many against A&M. I mean, he had the ice pack on at the press conference today. Bama's a different type of team. You know, I don't. What's a good number in your head of rushing attempts against Alabama?
I don't know.
I almost feel like you're going to have to get 8 or 9 from Dobbs. I feel like you're going to have more passes, just kind of those quick 5-yard passes that we've had that's been so good this year. I just don't know if we're going to be able to line up and run on Alabama, obviously, is what I'm getting at. I feel like you're going to need more passes than runs. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the offensive line can get it done.
I think you can run on Alabama. I think this team can.
We'll talk more about Alabama on later in the week. Let's get back to some A&M stuff, though. So, but to answer that question, you think Kamara did enough to earn the starting job?
Yes, yeah.
You worried about Josh Malone at all? 4 catches, 54 yards his last 2 games against Georgia and A&M?
I think it just says he's still not an elite go-to guy.
He's not someone that we're looking for. He had a bad drop or two, but he's not someone that we're looking to. The great thing about the Florida game was you got him in a matchup. You took advantage of it, but it wasn't something that you threw to him covered up with Florida's best corner. Still think Juwan Jennings is the go-to guy.
Yes. I think that what was crazy about Saturday was how open the middle of the field was.
Yeah.
I mean, it just seemed like Butch's first 3 years, we never did a slant. And then this year, we've just been killing people with it. I mean, it was just all day Saturday. The middle of the field was wide open. You know, I mean, I don't know. Josh Malone, he's still not that elite number one receiver. You know, I think that's just what the past 2 weeks have shown me. I still think but like you said, I think if you have to get 10 yards, I think you go to Jennings.
I mean, it seemed that way. It's shaken out that way in big moments.
Yeah.
Like I said, if you get him in a matchup like you did against Florida, where you bring him out of the backfield and get it set up perfectly, he's good enough to beat them. Good enough to go one-on-one deep against Virginia Tech. We'll see if he can step up against Alabama, because you're going to have to throw the ball over the top a couple of times. I mean, yeah. are you as surprised as I am just coming out of this A&M game that Alabama's 12-point favorites?
Yeah, I think that's pretty absurd.
I mean, it was 3.5 in the off season and held pretty much the entire season. Tennessee's looked, like you said, better than you thought. Granted, Alabama's looked really good too. I think this Alabama team's better than anyone thought they were going to be. But 12.5 in the first top 10 matchup inside Neyland Stadium since 2005. Like, I feel like the number is way too high.
Yeah, I do too. I think that's absurd. I think Tennessee's better. Like you said, they're way better than I thought they would be. They're way tougher physically, psychologically. Tennessee is easily a top 10 team. They can play with anybody in the nation. There's not many teams, okay? There's very, very few teams that could have played the last 3 games Tennessee has and gone 2-1, and the one loss was in double overtime to a top 10 team. Like, now, I know Georgia's not a great team, but that's such an emotional game every year.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of your rivals that's coming off of a big win. And you didn't play good and you still won. Like, I don't know.
I just don't understand, nobody's given me a legit reason why Tennessee can't win this Saturday. Like, I mean, I'm not going into Saturday thinking that it's a for sure loss. I mean, we just put up 700 yards offense on the number 8 team in the nation.
The 12-point spread's offensive to me.
Austin Allen, not Brandon Allen. Austin Allen threw for 400 yards Saturday night against Alabama. Okay, and including in that, he had some horrid interceptions, like the 100-yard interception return that he threw in the end zone.
Yeah, I didn't see any of that game.
So you're telling me Tennessee, if Austin Allen can throw for 400 yards against Alabama, imagine what Josh Dobbs can do if he's on his game.
Yeah, I think this is going to be – and like you had texted me, Tennessee just plays classics week in, week out. So, I mean, you're going to get a close game, I think. I think the 12 points is offensive.
I would be surprised if it's not a game in the fourth quarter Saturday.
At the very least, for people that were asking about the spread, if Tennessee's down 18 – You feel like their offense is going to get garbage time touchdowns. I mean, they've shown that they're going to score in the fourth quarter. I mean, when they actually have their backs against the wall and start trying to throw and score, they usually do it. Rate your trip to College Station. Roberto tweets in, why won't A&M let us hate them? And was it your favorite road game? How was your trip?
We shared a
brief handshake. No hug, we did. But a brief handshake. We saw each other. We were cordial.
They were
a little hard feelings that we didn't hang out more, but it's whatever. How was your trip? Tell me about it.
They were way too nice.
I hate them.
They're very, very, very weird. Kyle Field was not loud.
See, I thought it was loud. I thought it was loud.
I thought
the stadium was really nice.
Yeah, it was extremely nice.
The stadium was really nice, probably one of the nicest I've been in, including, I mean, I haven't been to many NFL stadiums or anything like that, but I thought it was a great stadium, definitely better than the hellhole in Gainesville. I thought their fans were loud where I was at.
They're so weird. I mean, all they can do is talk about the University of Texas.
They're such a little brother. They hate Texas.
It's pitiful.
My go-to in small talk, whenever they would try to muster up some trash talk, I knew they didn't mean it. They'd all just be like, oh, boo, or something, you know, something of that nature. I would just be like, oh, yeah, well, at least we're not the burn orange. Then they'd give me a laugh and say, you got that right, brother, and then talk about how much they hate Texas. Then I could remove myself from the conversation.
They were like Auburn on steroids.
What do you mean by that?
Well, like all Auburn fans, most Auburn fans
hate Alabama. I got you.
Than they love Auburn. That's how most Auburn fans are.
I got that feeling, and you get the feeling that Texas A&M, they take it upon themselves. They try really hard to be nice. It just doesn't – I don't know if it comes naturally or what, but it's like they've all got together and said, hey, we have to be nice to everyone. That has to be our thing. They were really nice over the top. Was it your favorite road game? I enjoyed Georgia more. I enjoyed going to Georgia more because I liked talking a little trash. I liked the bar scenes of Georgia better, and obviously I liked the game better. But I enjoyed Georgia more than A&M. Where would you rank A&M? Good? Bad? The trip? Did you have fun? Where are you ranking the trip at?
I mean, I had fun. It was a classic game. I mean, it sucked that we came out on the losing end. I think Tennessee football – in 2016 is like Icarus. They were just going to see how close they could fly to the sun without getting burned. And you knew eventually they would get burned, and it took 7 turnovers and a lot of crazy shit, but they finally got burned.
Did you want to go for the 2-point conversion?
I think I would have liked it more if he had gone for it on 4th-and-1 in overtime.
Man, when they jumped off sides on the touchdown, they jumped off sides on the first extra point. And you got it from the 1. I mean, they hadn't shown they could stop John Kelly or Alvin Kamara all night.
Yeah, I would have been fine with it, John. I wasn't going to be mad either way. Like, I thought, like, my basic feelings were that whole game was that we were better than them. And so your initial thought is, hey, take it into overtime and win it into OT because you're better than them. But by the time we got to OT, our defense had just been getting gashed.
Yeah.
our defense was done. I mean, there's only so much you can ask Colton Jumper, Elliot Berry, Baylen Buchanan, Markwell Osborne to do.
My thing was you had two chances on defense to stop them. You gave up the Trevor Knight long touchdown run. And, I mean, then you get burnt on the second and eight. You miss a tackle. Malik Foreman makes a hell of a play. I mean, that's one of the best plays in Tennessee history if Tennessee wins that game.
Yeah, it was incredible.
Him making that touchback. That's the only time that I really received any animosity in the crowd because I was in a Texas A&M section. After that play, I think they realized we were going to go down and score. They started getting mad. They got mad at me for rubbing that in. Because I just kept saying, touchback, baby. He fumbled. Touchback. Touchback. He didn't get in. And they were getting mad. Other than that, they didn't even – they were so nice except for one lady. There was one lady behind me. I will say that she was probably the worst Texas A&M fan I came in contact with. But the only time she would get mad is when they punted and that flopper – and that punter would flop and try to draw a flag. All she kept screaming was, throw the goddamn flag. Throw the goddamn flag. He got hit. Think about the players. Throw the goddamn flag. And she would just get really upset about that. But other than that, they were nice about everything. No trash talk. She just got mad when the punter would get hit. That's it. And whenever I bragged that it was a touchback.
Yeah, I bet if Butch had to do it over again, he would have gone for two.
I mean, you had him on their heels.
Yeah, you had him dead.
We still had two timeouts, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, at worst case, or I guess not worst case, but even if you miss it, you have a chance for an onside kick. There was still, a minute left in the game? Minute 20, it felt like? Yeah. You maybe can get the ball back with 30 seconds left trying to get a field goal. I don't know. Once they jumped off sides, I get that you had already taken them off the field. They're probably taking their helmet off. They're not ready to go. But, man, I don't know. I think everyone would have thought we were going to score on the two-point conversion. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think – I think they could have just done – a power with Kelly, and he would have got in.
Yeah, I mean, they hadn't shown they could stop either of those running backs.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's so weird that we're 6 months into the season and we've only lost one game, and I'm not even mad at Butch. Like, I thought he did a fine job Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not nitpicking. I wasn't mad that we didn't go for two. I would have liked to have seen it, but like you said, you thought you were the better team, but it just goes to prove that momentum bullshit isn't real. Like, if that game doesn't prove to you that momentum isn't real, because why wouldn't Texas A&M fold after you score that touchdown?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't we have folded after Trevor Knight scores, runs in for that touchdown? We stop. We score. That kicker comes out, makes a kick, whatever. I don't know. I felt like Tennessee let that one get away. And I'm trying not to be mad.
Well, that's why.
I'm trying not to be mad about it, but if we lose to Alabama and all of a sudden we're not in first in the East, that's when you're going to start really getting mad about it, I think.
Yeah, that's what I told this to several people after the game. My first immediate thought after that game was that this loss is going to haunt Tennessee fans for a long time.
See, that's how I felt about it. I still feel that way. You're more positive than me.
I'm more positive now just because, I'm more positive now because of the overall direction of the program.
Okay, so you're looking big picture.
Big picture. Tennessee football is the healthiest it's been in a long time. Like, we've obviously turned the corner. Next year we're going to be really good too. But for this season alone, let's face it, we're probably going to lose Saturday. Like, there's just so much you can ask this team to do in a month stretch when everybody's hurt. And my initial thought leaving that game Saturday was that this loss was going to haunt Tennessee for a long time, because if they just have three fumbles, we beat them like a drum.
Trevor Knight was not good. I mean,
he's not good. He's the same.
That's the worst part. That was the worst part. Is that he's skipping passes. He can't take advantage of their best receiver being lined up out wide with Derek Barnett. I mean, Barnett made a great play to stay with him, but, I mean, a good throw probably beats Barnett. I mean, he underthrows that and hits Barnett in the back. Like, granted, Barnett ran with the guy, but a good throw, most likely, that's a touchdown. Trevor Knight wasn't good enough. Their defense wasn't good enough. Their kicker shanks a 38-yard field goal. I dig the positive vibes, but I mean, man, that hurts. That hurts whenever you realize your next opponent isn't Mississippi State. You don't get a bye. You don't get to ease back into it. Now you got to go up against the best team in the country, the best program of the last 10 years. That's tough. Even at home, that's really, really tough to swallow.
I know. I knew leaving that stadium that because it was right there, dude.
We were better. I mean, we were better.
To be 11-1 going into Atlanta.
We were better. We were clearly better. We were much better.
And that's why I'm more positive about the program overall, because I never would have guessed going into the season that Tennessee would be heads and shoulders above Texas A&M.
Not only that, but I mean, you have to stop and realize, like you said, you named off the backups that are playing that game, and you're still better. You know, you are relying on Colton Jumper. You are relying, you know, you did lose Breeze Maven and Cam Sutton, and you're still better.
Yeah, but we were relying on Coleman Thomas at center. Denzel Boulware got some run at guard. I mean, like, Brandon Johnson had a catch Saturday. Like, we threw dudes in there that flat out had not been playing, and they stepped up. Like, I've never, you know, if we could keep Shoup around for one more year, like, next year Tennessee is going to be really good again. So, like, that's why, like, the overall program, like, this is the most positive I've felt about it. I don't know how long, in years. And, I you know, we probably will lose Saturday. But, like, I'd see, like, it's going to be a game going into that fourth quarter Saturday. Like, Tennessee still controls their destiny. And we're at the very end of the four-game stretch. You know, I think a lot of us, you know, had our doubts. Most of us had our doubts about whether they could get through Florida and Georgia 2-0.
Elated94 asked, he tweeted in, what defines a successful season? He said, for him, it's playoffs or bust. I don't think that's fair. I'm fine.
It's not fair because of the schedule.
I think 10-2 winning the East would make everyone happy. Does that mean you're ecstatic? I think that's changed. Like, I'm not. If we go 10-2, Seth, and we're in Atlanta, I'm still going to be upset about losing to Texas A&M and realize that it could have been 11-1 with a chance to go to the playoff.
Yeah, for sure, absolutely.
But it's still graded as a success.
Yes.
Like, you miss an opportunity to make it a perfect season, but it's still successful. No one should say that that's not successful.
You know, 10-2 is such a huge step forward for Tennessee's football team.
And winning the East. I mean, and especially if you win the East in that scenario.
You know, it's been so long, and like, Tennessee is stable. The coach isn't going anywhere. There's a lot of players coming back. We've clearly turned the corner as a program. Like, it'll be the healthiest Tennessee football has been in over a decade. Like, if you go 10-2, that's a successful season. Like, yeah, the Texas A&M game is going to haunt us. We're going to think about it for a long time, probably, just because, like I said, we're probably going to lose Saturday. But not many teams, like, this four-game stretch we've had, there's a reason why everybody looked at it and groaned when the schedule came out. Like, it's horrific. And we can win Saturday. Like, it'll be a shootout. But our offense has proven they can score. Like, it's not like this Alabama defense is the 2011 Alabama defense. They don't have some bell cow at running back. Like,
this isn't the 2014. Is this offense as well, that 2014 offense with Blake Sims? I don't know how good they were, but I just remember when they came to Knoxville. Every time it was 3rd and 4, we'd fire up, turn down for what, and then they'd pick up the first down before you could even sell. You know, before you could even get into the song. Has this offense been as good as that one so far? It seems like they've been putting up numbers.
It comes and goes.
Right.
It comes and goes for them. Like, there's times where Hurts, like, I mean, he's a true freshman.
That's the thing I keep getting hung up on is this the best defense he's going to have faced?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, right? I mean, the Ole Miss defense, not very good.
Yeah, this is the best defense. But like, it comes and goes with him. Like, there's times when he makes a play and you're like, okay, this guy's definitely going to win a Heisman, and he probably will. But then there's other times where, like, it just it comes and goes. You know, they don't even have a T.J. Yeldon at running back. You know, they definitely don't have a Derrick Henry. You know, I mean, like, they're the most dangerous at wide receiver. But the defense isn't. I mean, Austin Allen threw for 400 yards Saturday.
I really wish we'd have scored on the first drive after that Todd Kelly interception.
Yeah, I know.
I really wish we didn't go run, run, run. That's the only drive they stopped our run was the first one. The only drive Texas A&M was able to stop Tennessee from running the ball was the first one, and that sucks. Because I think if you go up 7-0 early there, obviously I think the game plays out differently. Missed opportunity. Ugh. I'm still not over the A&M trip. Maybe it's the fact that I've been driving 30 hours the entire week. Maybe I'm just grouchy. Couple more questions, and then I want to talk to you about a couple other things. But I got a question about the refs. Do you think anything bad about the refs? I didn't really.
Yeah, they were trash.
Were they trash just against us or on both sides? I felt like it. I didn't notice anything being in the stands.
I mean, the Eric Berry hit was egregious. No call.
I was in the bathroom pouring whiskey into some Sierra Mist at that point. I missed it.
That was an egregious no call.
Everyone cheers. Everyone cheers. It wasn't very loud in the bathroom, so I thought maybe it was the Tennessee fans cheering. I thought maybe Barry housed it. Nope, come out, and it's 21-7 before I get back to my seat.
The Nigel Warrior hit was bullshit.
So the two there on special teams?
Yeah. There was one play, like, at the end of the half, we threw a slant to Josh Malone, which was incomplete, and the dude was draped all over Malone.
I saw the vine of that on Twitter.
Like, they suck, dude. They were awful.
Shout out to Kyle Field, though, for having great LTE. Get tweets and texts off and no problems.
Yeah. Yeah, the refs were horrid. They're horrid in every SEC game, though. Like, it's not just a one-time thing. They suck. It needs to be a full-time position. There's too much riding on these college football games to have part-time referees.
Well, hell, they had part-time referees in the NFL for a long time. I mean, until the strike.
Like, it just – it's to the point now. I mean, Nigel Warrior got ejected, dude. Like, that's so much bullshit for a clean hit. Like, that changed the game. The Evan Berry fumble changed the game. Like, you couldn't get any more of just a classic targeting call than what that queer little 12th man dude did to Evan Berry. Which, speaking of the 12th man, nobody on any team we've played has made me as mad as that guy did. I was sitting by a former player, I don't know who it was, and I looked at him and I said, you know that 12th man right there with the long hair? He said, yeah. I said, I want to go out to the field and I want to rip his head off. Like,
explain to me what happened with him.
Well, like, he caused that fumble on Evan Berry. He was the one that hit Berry. It was the target call. Then he goes crazy. Then, for whatever reason, another bad call was the personal foul on Dylan Bates.
Yeah.
That was awful. And he's over there on our sidelines talking shit, and they have to bring him off the sideline. Like, he was the one Bates blocked down. Then when Warrior gets ejected, they show him standing on the bleachers waving bye. Like, he was so annoying.
See, I missed
he
all that.
He made me so mad.
Why are you calling the 12th guy? Why are you calling the 12th man guy? What was the deal with him?
He was wearing number 12.
Oh, he's just wearing the 12? I mean, was he?
No, they always give it to like a special walk-on or whatever.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
Yeah, it's one of their traditions.
Yeah, they were saying on TV, like, it's like he gets picked up right before the season starts, and it's just
so that's their whole guy. Bullshit. Yeah, cliche,
and he plays special
that's
teams.
The legend of the 12th man, apparently.
I saw everyone mad about him, but I didn't exactly see what happened. Maybe these two questions go hand in hand, but Justin LeGrand wants to know, was I as mad, were you as mad, Seth, at Texas A&M serving Pepsi?
Man, Pepsi's trash.
I didn't mind the Sierra Mist. He asked if that played into why I didn't finish my fifth of Jim Beam. I think that the fourth quarter was the reason I didn't finish my fifth of Jim Beam. I got tired of having to go up and buy more drinks, more Sierra Mist, and the fourth quarter got too good, and I couldn't afford to leave because the one time I left, Evan Berry gets rocked. We fumble. It's 21-7, so I said, I just can't do it anymore. I can't go up. What, it had nothing to do with Sierra Mist. Final thoughts on Florida LSU, Seth?
Can you say that again?
Thoughts on Florida LSU, them not playing the game this weekend?
I mean, like, it's just Jeremy Foley being Jeremy Foley. It's Florida being Florida.
I mean, it was him pulling a power move, right? I mean, essentially him being buddy-buddy. And
well, he knew Sankey wasn't going to put his foot down.
Because, I mean, in Sankey's defense, he looks like a dick if he tries to make them play, right? I mean, if he doesn't – if he comes across as he's not sympathetic to a hurricane area. In Sankey's defense, I felt like he didn't really have a win – possible in this situation.
Okay, so why aren't they playing tonight?
Because it's still because I thought that Sankey. Do you think Sankey should have made them? It sounds like you think Sankey should have made them.
There was one game that wasn't played Saturday.
Yeah,
it was Florida LSU.
But I would also say that's probably the one game where they didn't want to play, right?
Oh, Florida had zero intention.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Because they knew they would lose.
All the other games that happened, all the other teams that played. I mean, none of them. I doubt any of them really vehemently said they didn't want to play. Right.
Yeah, I mean, it was just it's Florida being Florida.
Yeah.
Like that's why.
Oh yeah, I mean
so
Florida comes
so
off.
Maddening.
Florida comes off as bitches 100%. Like, don't get me wrong there.
Yes.
I just felt like Sankey. A fairly new commissioner, if he comes out and looks like he's not supporting victims of a flood, I mean, or of a hurricane, I just feel like he'd have maybe taken a bad PR hit. I don't know.
I mean, it's not like Gainesville is on the coast.
Right.
You know, like, I hear what you're saying, and I agree with you. Like, there's tonight.
They should have played Monday.
There was Friday night.
They should have played Monday.
I mean,
poor Georgia, South Carolina. Poor Georgia, South Carolina ran out during NFL Sunday when their own fans probably didn't want to be there. Who wants to go watch the Georgia, South Carolina game? There was Jacob Eason throw for 28 yards.
Yeah, I know.
Poor Georgia, South Carolina. Muschamp just wanted that performance to go off by the wayside. I think he wanted to play on Sunday.
Yeah. I mean, it's the reason.
It'll give some of those South Carolina players a chance to play on Sunday. Got to use it as a recruiting tool.
Oh man, that's good. Yeah, I think just the reason people are mad and the reason people are frustrated is because Florida. It's just Florida being Florida.
Oh, 100%. At the very worst, and I said it then. They didn't want to play because they want Del Rio to get healthy. Like, if they have to move it back a couple weeks, so what? They don't have to run out Austin fucking Appleby.
I mean, they knew they would lose.
Yeah.
And they knew they would lose, and they took one quick peek at that schedule, and they saw that LSU was going to have to play Alabama, Ole Miss, and A&M in a four-week span with one little non-conference game sprinkled in there. The same weekend, Florida plays a non-conference game, and they're like, oh, we can play then.
And
they knew they wouldn't get LSU's best.
My thing is that there it is right there. No one's really talked about it. Everyone's like, oh, you could just make it up on the 19th. Who cares? My thing is that the LSU team that was going to show up on a noon Saturday after Florida shit the bed against Tennessee and shit the bed against Vanderbilt, the mood of those two teams couldn't have been more different. LSU just beat the hell out of Missouri. LSU is still feeling good about Ed Orgeron. They don't hate him yet. They come in. They play their best game. They beat Florida. Fast forward to the end of November. Maybe that new feeling is worn off. LSU's got three or four losses, and they not necessarily lay down, but they don't play with near the same passion and near the same fun.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, exactly. That's exactly what Jeremy Foley's thinking. It's total bullshit. Like, I mean, it's already such bullshit that Tennessee has to play Alabama every year.
Yeah.
And nobody else does.
Yeah.
But then when you sprinkle that in – with the fact that, oh, we also have to go on the road to A&M.
And then the week before.
The week before, and Florida gets out of playing a hobbled LSU. Oh, and they have to go to Fayetteville. They never have to play at Georgia. Like, it's the schedule is already so unfair. to Tennessee.
That's a good point. I never really thought about with never having to go to Georgia, and Georgia like, obviously never has to go to Florida. That's bullshit. It obviously
helps Georgia more because never having to play in the swamp is a much bigger deal than never having to play in Sanford Stadium, because Georgia's home field advantage just isn't on the same level
right.
as the swamp or Neyland.
When the swamp's good.
Yeah. So, but that's always been like, that's why it's, you know, it blows my mind that people want to play Alabama every year. Like if the SEC
Fuck tradition. If we had to play Alabama every year, this dark stretch wouldn't have seemed nearly as bad. The last 10 years doesn't seem nearly as bad if you don't have to take a 30-point beatdown to Alabama every year.
Like, y'all want to play Alabama so bad every year? Think about if Tennessee had Mississippi State at home this weekend. We'd be rolling into Atlanta 11-1. If Tennessee had any other West team besides Alabama this weekend at home, we'd probably be rolling in 11-1. Like, it blows my mind that people are cool with that. Like, I'm not. Like, get them off the schedule. You can call me a bitch, scared. I don't care. It's not fair. It solely has to do with what the other teams in the East have to do. And it's never as hard as what Tennessee has to do.
It's terrible. It makes me so mad thinking about it. I'm glad that you agree.
Like, there are years. Every other year, Tennessee has to play at Florida and at Alabama. Georgia never, ever has to play at Florida. And every other year they have to play at Auburn. Big deal. Who gives a shit about playing at Auburn? Auburn's gay as hell. I would trade that in an instant. And, like, Florida's cross-divisional opponent is LSU. LSU has been good for, like, 10 years out of the past 100. But who is Tennessee matched up with? The most prestigious football program of all time. It's so stupid and it's so unfair, and I can't believe people want to keep this game. It blows my mind. The schedule's already hard enough. You're in the SEC.
Imagine if we were playing Mississippi State next week.
Think about how excited we would be.
Instead, we got to play these goddamn Bammers.
Because if you are playing Mississippi State this weekend, you're coming off and you're saying, hey, we just took the number six team in the nation on the road to the wire.
We were better than them.
Second string defense.
We were better than them.
We're going to be in Atlanta fully healthy.
Everyone knows we're better than them. The fact that they didn't drop us out of the top 10 shows that everyone knows that we were better than them.
Yeah.
You feel so much better. You get to rattle off five wins to end the season.
And you get to get healthy. But no, now we have to go up against Nick Saban and a defense that has like five first-round picks.
In the name of tradition.
But, you know, at the same time, like, Tennessee can beat Alabama this weekend. I am convinced of that.
Oh, yeah, we've said that. We've made that clear. That it's the point that you have to play them every year.
It's the principle of the matter.
It's the principle that you're a top 10 team and people have made the line 12. The fact that no one thinks that you're going to beat them, that's pretty shitty. There's very few instances where Tennessee's ranked number 10 in the top 10 of the country at home, coming off of a home win like Florida where it was deafening in the second half, and you come in as double-digit underdogs. That's all I need to know is that you're double-digit underdogs.
Yeah, and it's not like Alabama looked great Saturday night from what I've read and seen. I mean, they basically, you know, they won, was it 49-30?
Yeah.
It should have been like more like, you know, 42-33. I mean, because Austin Allen threw that pick in the end zone.
Well, hell, I mean, that's a 14-point swing there.
Yeah, you know, let's just say that all Arkansas gets is a field goal. So it's 42-33, you know. Tennessee's head and shoulders above Arkansas. It's a whole lot harder to play at Tennessee than it is to play at Arkansas. I mean, 12 points is crazy to me.
Pig, silly.
So it's pretty.
Pig, silly.
It's pretty insane.
What were your thoughts on Trump and Hillary last night?
I didn't get to watch. I was on an airplane.
Oh, Well, what are your thoughts on Trump saying he wants to grab women in the pussy?
Like
locker room talks. What he said it was last night.
If anybody is surprised by that at this point, like, you're a dumbass. And if, like, it's so weird to me, like, it's obviously a big deal or whatever, but, like, it's like, if this is the straw that broke the camel's back with your thoughts on Trump, you're a dumbass. Like, it wasn't that, like, he said he wanted to build a 10-foot wall to prevent Mexicans from crossing the border. It's the fact he said he likes to grab women in the pussy. Like, if this is the straw that broke the camel's back, you're a dumbass. Like, anybody that is surprised by anything he says at this point is an idiot.
Man, whenever he was telling Hillary, whenever he gets elected, he's launching a special investigation and putting her in jail. Oh, I got going on that one, though. That one got me going. And then she said something about how, you know, we're lucky that he's not in control of the laws, and he snapped back, yeah, because you'd be in jail. Those got me going, though, Seth.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I popped for those.
So the craziest thing to me about last night, and I didn't watch it, just I read a bunch of stuff on it, is that she couldn't land the finishing.
That's how bad blow. She is. That's how bad
like,
she is.
Like, that's how bad she is at this.
All you have to do is be competent, and you would –
like, how do you not end him? That's what is the most shocking thing to me about the debate.
The same respect as how is she leading her? Like, if you have any other Republican, you probably beat the hell out of her.
Well, they're the two most popular presidential candidates of all time.
Instead, we get these two.
The only presidential candidate that's ever been more unpopular than Hillary Clinton is Donald Trump.
My favorite thing was, did you see the phenomenon of Ken Bone?
Yes, that was awesome.
The fat guy in the sweater that made them compliment each other. My favorite thing is that Hillary compliments how Donald raises children and says they've turned out to be great people. And Donald says, I don't know if that was a compliment or not, but I'm taking it for one. After he said, say something nice about the other candidate, and she compliments his kid and how good he did as a parent, and he says, I don't know if that was a compliment or not. That's all I needed to hear was him saying that. I don't know if that's a compliment or not. You dumb fuck, she just said it was, and they just asked her to compliment you. Someone asked if Ken Bone was your father. I didn't really think you looked like him, Seth.
I don't think so either. But I
someone asked if Ken Bone is me in 20 years. That one might be a better question, but no, it's not me either.
I hope that, like... So I really hope that, like, Ken Bone is not on Twitter and, like, nobody showed it. Because, like, that dude, that was, like, he was very heartfelt. Like, he truly cares. Like, that guy was there for all the right reasons.
He wasn't there to be on camera.
And it's like, this guy is just a flat-out American. There to ask a question to the two presidential candidates, trying to make the country better, you know, like... Like, he was there for all the right reasons. It was heartfelt. He was sincere. He was earnest. And, like, I just hope he hasn't seen the shit. Like, because that makes me sad, man. Like that actually, like, tugs at my heartstrings a little bit. Because that dude was there for the right reasons.
USA. USA. USA.
Like, and then, like, him, did you see the video of him going around with a disposable camera afterwards?
Yes.
That guy is what is good about America.
He's Americana right there.
Yeah, that guy is
American Pie and Ken fucking Bone. Do you think Ken Bone likes Christopher Columbus?
Yeah.
He doesn't even question Christopher Columbus. That's how American he is.
Yep, that's right.
Would you rather have hammer hands or skate feet?
Would I rather have what?
Would you rather have hammers... Would you rather have hammers for your hands or ice skates for your feet?
Ice skates for my feet.
Why's that?
I don't know. Like, I would just rather... People don't see my feet as it is. They see my hands every day, though.
Yeah, but you couldn't walk with ice skate feet.
Maybe they could, like, do something. I don't know. Like, imagine trying to type on a keyboard with hammers.
You're trying to get these tweets off and you just keep beating the shit out of your phone and cracking your screen.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like that's a pretty I feel like that's pretty easy, right? You go with the skate for feet. People live, people in wheelchairs, I mean, they do accomplish just as much as I do every day.
Exactly.
Imagine trying to accomplish something with hammer feet or hammer hands. You could just could you drive with hammer hands, maybe?
I don't know.
If you drive with your elbows, maybe.
We're about to have self-driving cars anyway.
That's true. That could be a game changer for the hammer hands.
Yeah. That's like 10 years away, Max. So AI is about to take over the world anyway, so who cares?
Maybe now I'd rather have skate for feet. But 10 years from now, whenever you could just activate everything with your voice anyways, maybe the hammer hands wouldn't be so bad. Imagine how much imagine how much ass you could kick with hammer hands. No, you'd never lose a fight.
That's true. That's true.
You wouldn't have to do very much in foreplay and sex because you have hammer hands. What can you do? Now I'm going skate for feet. 10 years from now, give me hammer hands. I hope that on Saturday we just have a better vibe. I don't know about you, but my whole trip just kind of had it was an overcoming vibe from day one. Like we were facing adversity on the trip from day one. I hope in Knoxville we get back into our routine. I hope the players get to sleep in their own beds for the next 4 or 5 days. Get them some loving from their woman. Get them some home-cooked meals. Get to feeling good about each other. And I hope they come out and play better. I hope the same goes for me. I had a lot of adversity on my trip. A lot of adversity. It was hard to track down tickets. Before the game, we've talked about it, Seth. I got a weak stomach. But before the game, I've had pretty good luck so far in Knoxville. But, of course, as soon as I get out there near Kyle Field trying to tailgate, my stomach starts hurting, right? And I'm walking around frantically. And I told you, I got a 5-minute window at most whenever I have to go to the bathroom. I'm walking around frantically with my lady, and we're like, hey, is there anywhere that has indoor bathrooms? Like in Knoxville, these tailgating places, usually you can find some indoor bathrooms.
Yeah, the campus buildings are open.
Yeah, the campus buildings are open. Not at Texas A&M. They think they're nice, but they're actually a bunch of assholes that close all their buildings and don't want people going into their bathrooms. So I'm frantically asking. Everyone's like, good luck, brother. They go, well, you can walk down to a McDonald's, but you have to spend at least $8. And the McDonald's is like a half a mile away. I'm like, hey, man, I ain't got a half a mile. So worst case scenario, my last resort, I had to use a porta potty. Do you know how hot it is inside of a porta potty? When it's 85 degrees outside, I immediately strip down. I go shirtless. I'm right at home. I'm shirtless inside this porta potty. The only saving grace is that I picked the right one. Someone had left a Texas A&M hand towel in there so I could wipe down the bathroom. I'm sitting in there for 15 minutes just covered in sweat trying to use the bathroom outside in this porta potty. Just, I mean, the trip from day one, Seth. I knew Tennessee was going to be in trouble. I'm not going to lie. My morale was not as high as it had been on other games.
Yeah. I don't know. It was – I always – you know, I told you at halftime. I kept on telling y'all.
You came down there with your stupid mustache who looked like Chester the Cat or whatever the hell that cat's name is or whatever the hell that mouse's name is in the Wild West cartoon. You remember that guy? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do.
The big Chester cat looking thing. That looks like you with your stupid little handlebar mustache. And you just kept saying, it's going to be a game in the fourth quarter. It's going to get close.
And you're
right, per usual.
And this team, I think a lot of reason that I'm not down is just this team so likable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, how do you not just love this Tennessee team?
Everything about them. I love it.
You know, like when Josh Dobbs fell to the ground or fell, like squatted down after the interception, like, even someone even someone like me who has been so negative about him.
And
like,
it was such a terrible decision and such a terrible throw. There was no point to try to make that throw.
Yeah, it was real bad. I just wanted to go out there and give him a hug and tell him I was proud of him.
Same as him not falling on John Kelly's fumble. I mean, that's also a bad play. But you can't even get mad about that either.
Yeah, it's just – it's
because you know he's a warrior. You know he's a warrior. You know that – the biggest thing, Seth, and the worst thing that any fan could say about players and what makes fans the maddest about players is when they think they care more than the players do about winning and losing.
And you don't feel that way with this team.
You don't feel that way about any of these guys that actually play.
And it's been so long.
Justin Martin, maybe. Maybe Justin Martin, but he doesn't play anymore.
It's been so long since you've been able to say that.
I know. And that's the thing. I mean, you just have to love this team. We don't even get mad when they fall behind the first half because, you know, they're not going to give up. They're not going to fold.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, that's why, like, it, you know, like, if Tennessee cuts out the fumbles, they can win Saturday, and it wouldn't even be that big of an upset.
No.
Like, but regardless, this team is so much fun to cheer for. Like, it's like you just look forward to playing them because they're just – like, you're proud of them. Like, I know it sounds lame and I know it sounds stupid. And, like, we did so much stupid shit on Saturday.
So much.
But, like, I can't help but, like, be proud. Like, this is what the Tennessee team that we've wanted to cheer for so long.
We got some goons, some dogs, some people that don't quit. I mean, it's fun.
It's just a lot of fun. I mean,
that play Malik Foreman made, legendary. Even on the Vine, if you go back and watch it, I mean, even Khalil's big ass tried to dive over a pile to cause a fumble right there.
Yeah.
I mean, he's hustling. That was a great play really by well him. Yeah. Anywhere on Danny O'Brien before we go?
They said he was day-to-day.
Okay, so, I mean, he's fine. Otherwise, I mean, it's just – what's the injury? Just
I don't know.
Yeah, I was curious. But, I mean, he traveled back with the team. Traveled back with the team, so, I mean, he's fine long-term health-wise.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, long-term he's fine.
Khalil and Shy playing so well, I mean, it gives you hope. That's weird to say since we gave up 300 yards rushing, but they weren't up the middle.
Yeah, that's just one of them games. I mean, like
– It's a shootout. That's what we're going to have to do against Alabama, too.
Yeah. That's just how football is now.
I still felt the defense played all right despite giving up all those yards.
Well, they did from – I mean, that third quarter was awesome.
Yeah.
They did until the very end of the fourth quarter. I mean, you can't – you couldn't ask for more than what the defense gave you Saturday.
They were on fumes.
Yeah.
Any final words, Seth, on the way out?
No. I mean, it's just – it's a fun Tennessee team to root for. I'm excited about Saturday. We can beat Alabama.
How do you feel that maybe this time next week we're going to be talking about my first place Tennessee Titans?
Buddy, I'm ready. That was a great game yesterday.
They get the Cleveland Browns now. Got to get to 3-3, and then the sky's the limit, boys. The sky's the limit. Brock Osweiler sucks.
He's awful. How bad do you think the Texans feel about giving him
$70 million? They gave him $70 million.
He is – I watched that game yesterday. And, like, the Texans – because I was in a Buffalo Wild Wings in Houston, and there was a bunch of Houston fans there. They were so mad. They were so mad. I'm like, the Vikings are awesome, and Brock Osweiler sucks ass. Why are y'all mad?
How can you not get the ball to DeAndre Hopkins? He's one of the best receivers in the league, and they can't get him the ball. Brock Osweiler sucks. He sucks.
They're horrid.
The Titans are winning that division, Seth. You laugh all you want. They might go 8-8 as they do it, but they're going to win the division. They are.
So, but if they go 8-8 and win the division, does Mike Mularkey keep his job?
I don't care. I just want to win the division and get a playoff game. I don't care.
I respect that.
Yeah.
I respect that.
I'm not going to cut off my nose to spite my face. Fuck it. Let's get a playoff game. Let's win the division. And quite frankly, I mean, the team hasn't – I know I got mad at Mike Mularkey against the Texans, but shit. The team's played pretty good. They haven't gotten blown out at all. They were up 10-0 against the Vikings at halftime. Mariota imploded, but I mean that's a great defense. So I mean they haven't imploded. I mean they haven't gotten blown out. They've played pretty good. They get Cleveland, Jacksonville, Indianapolis, and the Bears coming up. We could easily win 5 straight games. Be 5-3, 4-4 at the worst. I'm pumped up. We're going to beat Bama. Woo! See you later, Seth.
I'm happy you're happy, buddy.
See you later, buddy.
See you.
Davis, take us out.
At 17, had to lighten the load. I was young, but I was keen to survive on my own. In the fall, got a gig with my brother-in-law, shopping work, bagging groceries, pushing in carts. I was grateful to be working, but say my back is hurting. I don't think it's the purpose. No, this can't be the call. At night, I'm working great, just counting the time. On my break, I write a song about the love of my life. This ain't right. Couple dollars and change, walking home in the rain, jumping in front of a train, bitch, I might. On top of the roof, empty bottles of brew, take a hit of my J, I'm in flight. Closing my eyes, vision in Monte Carlos with tinted windows and balling legitimate. Open my eyes, I was in the same predicament. The next day I called and said I quit. Bitch, I get bigger. You and me have to get bigger.